Good evening. I call to order this March 11th, 2025 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased that you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts, and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting, and I ask that you please keep them in mind. Please turn off your cell phone. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand and I will recognize you, and you can come forward to the podium. City Clerk Brenda Wheeler must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have the opportunity to speak. And please direct your remarks to either myself, the City Council, or to City staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin this evening with a roll call of members.
Paper?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Long?
Here.
Wolf?
Here.
Willis?
Here.
Clark? Letcher? Heiko? All members present, except Clark, Letcher, and Heiko.
Thank you. If you please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number four, we have our consent agenda, and Mr. Green has a few things to discuss about our consent agenda.
Mr. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening tonight. Good evening, council members. Just wanted to highlight to you and to the audience item 4E, which is the upcoming calendar for spring cleaning and the burn time. In having a conversation with the Judiciary Committee, right now, our municipal code limits the number of days for burning to just 9 in the spring. And historically, it's always been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the 3 weeks of the spring cleaning time. But we've gotten some complaints at times that that just doesn't allow people enough time, or it happens to hit on weekends where it tends to get into a weather cycle where it rains, some things like that. So the Judiciary Committee suggested, and what you have on the calendar tonight is 9 days, but it's 9 consecutive days. And so it takes the 2 weekends and all of the weekdays in between for those 9 days. And so it's going to be a little bit different schedule this year than what's going to be allowed. We'll make sure that the city's ad that's in the paper mentions that. We'll push it out through social media. Maybe the newspaper will be interested in writing an article about it, or at least highlighting something like that for the citizens. But I just want all of you to know that that's on there. If for some reason you wanted to change that, you could pull that off and we could have further discussion tonight. But if you do approve it, you're approving it as is. Again, 9 days, but starting with a weekend all the way through that week and then the following weekend.
Thank you. One burning permit covers all 9 days.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to. Go ahead.
So moved.
I didn't make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to approve the consent agenda. Please register your votes.
Yes. All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number five, we'll have members of the Blair Volunteer Fire Department response time report from the Washoe County Sheriff's Office from 911.
And thank you, Mayor. Jake's going to come up here in just a minute. I'm just going to introduce this, but one of the things that the Police Fire Committee had asked is that the council will begin to be given some response call data. And so wanted to have Jake come up, kind of highlight a little bit about what the report looks like. So there's two different ones that are out there right now. So we gave you the January one as well as the February one. We'll include these then in the information packet. So it'll be part of that consent agenda and the reports going forward. We won't get up and talk about them, but again, you can always pull them off if you have questions or comments that you have. But this will give Jake an opportunity to kind of explain what the form is and how to interpret the data. Thank you.
Good evening, Council. So this report will be generated by Washoe County Sheriff's Department through their CAD system. It is a manual report right now. It's not automated. How it will work, it has the date columns, the day of the call, the type. They're just going to label it as med if it's a med run, AFD for like an automatic fire alarm, and then there's other. So they'll have like hazmat, TC's, traffic crash. Well, the time of call, time of dispatch, because sometimes there is difference in the 911 dispatcher getting the location and everything. So the time of dispatch when we're first notified, second pages, third pages, and fourth pages, fifth, so forth. Time that the first unit goes en route and the first unit arrives, and if they were canceled. Mutual aid, MA, is mutual aid, so if we were unable to call, handle the call when we called for help from a neighboring department through a mutual aid agreement. The time mutual aid was dispatched, the time they were en route, and the time they arrived and canceled. I talked really fast. Any questions in there? So they'll generate it. BJ, their director, BJ Grove at Washington County Sheriff's Department will provide that to me at the first of the month. We'll make sure it's on your guys' consent agenda, first council meeting each. If you have any questions on it, there is, the beginning of February was a little rough with weather and everything and members being sick. I can proud to say since this last takeup here, we had some mutual aid that night. We've mutual aided only twice out of 82 runs. So we're on run number 278 for the year since January 1st. So a lot of calls and we're doing a good job.
I want to say thank you because I hear that whistle go off 3 and 4, maybe more times a day. And hear the whistle going. I know you guys are on it, but thank you very much. I'm sure I speak for everybody in Blair that we appreciate our volunteer fire department. So thank you.
Thank you guys for support.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jake.
Item number 6, consider resolution number 2025-26, amending the City of Blair policies and procedures to establish a volunteer time off policy for city employees. Mr. Gould.
Good evening, Mayor and semi-city council, right? Ben Gould, HR manager for the City of Blair. I have Trevor Corey with me. As you guys may remember, you approved a CAT committee, meow meow, right? City Alliance Team is what it stands for, and they are an advisory committee that is a group of representatives of each department in the city coming together, discussing, collaborating, coming up with events and activities, maybe some policies to help better our employees and their work-life balance. So tonight before you, we have our VTO policy, our volunteer time off policy. Real quick, this VTO policy aims to support our employees' engagement in the community. So there's essentially, it allows our employees to take time off to go volunteer with certain types of organizations. And I'll get into that a little bit here. So the policy officer offers two options for employees. The first is an annual VTO allocation. So full-time and permanent part-time employees who have completed their introductory period, so day two, they won't be eligible, but until they get their 6 months in, they can use up to 8 hours of VTO time. So that's essentially 8 hours that they can use at 4-hour increments to go volunteer for a nonprofit community organization within Blair or an approved 501c3 organization. And in the policy, they all have the definitions of those types of organizations. These 8 hours don't run over, so you can't build a bank year to year. So they run out and reset every fiscal year. Again, that's October 1st. And again, like I said, they must be used in 4-hour increments. So that's the first option. The second option is long-term volunteer commitment. This is a little different than other organizations may have. Again, usually you might see or know that there's just 8 hours, you have your time to go volunteer. We saw and even heard through the CAT team some desire to have a longer commitment, for example, teammates, to volunteer your time, it's for our community. So we came together, discussed, and came up with this long-term volunteer commitment. And again, in addition to the annual 8 hours, all employees, full-time and permanent part-time employees, are eligible to engage in that long-term commitment for up to 1 hour per week of paid VTO time. For ongoing and consistent volunteering with local Blair organizations. So like I said, volunteering an hour of your time every week with teammates, connecting with those kids, right? We wanted to offer that up because 8 hours only goes so far with teammates or those types of organizations. So we wanted to try to build both of those bridges, one for long-term commitment and then one for, hey, I wanna go volunteer at the local church or local organization, stuff the backpack, whatever that is, giving those time. So all these VTO requests have to have prior approval as well from a supervisor. So it's not just go free, be free, you know, do whatever you want. They still have a form that they'll have to fill out, submit to their supervisor for approval. I think at that time, I'm good. I don't know if you have anything else you want to say.
Yes, I have any questions.
Again, it's really for our employees to engage with our community, to better the community relationships, and just give our employees that kind of morale boost to say, hey, we value you and your time with the city, but working for the city, but go use that time now and better our community. So, any questions?
Hey, Ben.
Could Trevor speak to Kat's review of the policy and their overall feelings of the policy?
Sure.
That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to watch the first time. Yeah, I mean, we met with our CAT team on this. It's really important to a lot of people that are currently in Teammates. We have, I know, Blake Gutschow, I'm sure everybody knows him. He participates in Teammates. And there's Erica, I don't know her last name. I think she works at the police department in the administration building. She does Teammates. I don't have Facebook, but my spouse does, saw the post of the people that Blake interacts with weekly, of the snowplow pictures. I'm sure everybody else saw it. It was that's cool. And that's why this is very important to us. And I think getting a policy for it encourages more people to be involved with the community. So that's why this was the first thing that we did, and feel like it's very important for the community as a whole that we get this done.
Great idea.
If no questions, thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Having none, I will say that I am a strong supporter of this program. When you volunteer in a community, you are saying that this community and everyone in it is worth your time. And as we all know, time is valuable. And I think this is awesome that we're going to allow our employees the time to volunteer in our community. And I applaud them for that. Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee did sit in on these conversations. The employees had suggestions. Finance Committee agreed. This policy is going to be in place for a trial for a year. And then if anything needs to change, or if we see that it's going well and we can make some tweaks to it, we will. But the committee was on board with this as well. With that, if no one has any questions, I would like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2025-26 as presented.
If you would introduce it, please. That's right.
I would like to introduce resolution number 2025-26.
Resolution number 2025-26 was introduced by Councilmember Haber, amending the City of Blair policies and procedures to establish a voluntary time off policy for the city employees.
Now I would like to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2025-26 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number 2025-26. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Item number 7, consider ordinance number 2567, amending the Blair City Municipal Code Appendix Permit, License, and Application Fees by adding the fees for UTV licensing. Ms. Ferrari.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. As you recall, we decided that moving forward, we did want to set a fee for our permit licensing UTVs. Up until this point, they have only had to come in one time to be reviewed and make sure they're in compliance. And so this gives the opportunity to have each UTV reviewed each year. They receive right now this type of permit as a sticker. There is no specific place it has to go, so it could go in their window, on their bumper. And then we look to have these stickers that would then attach to the permit. It'd be a different color each year, very similar to what our cars receive now. In looking at what the different fees are around us, we saw fees that range anywhere from $35 to $50. And so we're proposing a fee of $50 each year for the fee for our UTVs. In looking at this, we have to take into consideration the fact that we will have to print the stickers each year. The police will have added time of reviewing each UTV that comes across. We are having to send out letters this first year around to let all UTV users know that they need a new permit and a new registration prior to being able to use your UTV after April 1st. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any comments from the public?
Mayor, Council, Mark Hodson, 231 East Riverview Drive.
Would you spell your last name, please?
Hodeson.
Thank you.
No, I think this is a good deal. Good idea. $50. So just curiosities, the inspection, what will that entail? What are they looking for? That's what blinkers, taillights, brakes. Headlights, horn, what?
Checking the brakes.
Pardon me?
Checking the brakes.
Okay.
You know, just like a car, basically, make sure everything's all right.
No, that's great. I think, yeah, go ahead, come on.
Yeah, so state statute does require that there are certain things that every UTV has to have. It has to have a spark arrestor, has to have a certain type of brake. We require that our UTVs have headlights and taillights, a special roll bar, which is not required by state statute, but is required by the City of Blair. And we require that they have a flag that extends off the back 5 feet above the UTV. So they will check for all those things.
So keep everybody safe. That's, you know, no junkers and clunkers. Also, I know that in the state level, there's a possibility that they may uplift the regulation to no UTVs at night. Is if that happens, will that be something that the City of Blair would look at allowing UTVs at night?
For snow removal.
Only.
That's what the state's looking at.
Only for snow.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know Iowa, South Dakota, Minnesota allow to drive at night.
Yeah, right now the state doesn't, and they're looking at a bill that would allow it for snow removal purposes only.
So what would happen if Joe, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but yeah. Joe needs to go on fire call and he's on his UTV at night and it's not snowing, it's the middle of summer.
Well, if there's reported.
That's what I'm just curious,
yes.
You know.
So if it's reported.
Common sense stuff, but still. You know,
if it's reported right now and someone is stopped by the police and they're operating their vehicle, their UTV vehicle incorrectly, they are covered under our Violations Bureau, and there is a step process as to what the fines are, and then we allow 10 days for them to pay the fine. If it's not paid, it goes to the county attorney, and they will begin the prosecution process for that ticket.
Okay. Nope. Great.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Any other comments from the public? Having none, police and fire.
We did meet on this and discuss, had some good lengthy conversation, discussed the different charges of the different cities and things like that. We think it's a great idea for the city to do, to kind of keep control of who has what. So the way it is now, you get a license for your ATV, it could have been 15 years ago, it's still driving around on it. Now they can kind of make sure that it's staying safe and everything's in working order, headlights, brake lights, etc. So we decided that was a go. So I would like to make a motion.
You want to introduce?
I want to introduce. I want to introduce ordinance number 2567.
In order to amend the Blair City Municipal Code, appendix permit license and application fees, adding the fees for UTV licensing. If you have not Orange Park's Warrants Conflict here with the runnings are showing full course in effect, published in pamphlet form.
I'd like to move the statutory rule regarding reading on three different days be suspended for consideration of said ordinance.
Second.
Question.
The question before the council is, shall the statutory rule requiring reading on three different days be suspended? Please vote.
All council members present voting aye. And ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code, appendix permit license application fees, adding a fee for UTV licensing. The field not Orange Park warrants in conflict here with providing this ordinance will be in full force, effect, and published in pamphlet form.
I move final passage of ordinance 2567.
Second.
Question.
The question now before the council is, shall ordinance number 2567 be passed and adopted? Please register your votes.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2567 duly adopted. Item number 8, consider resolution 2025-27 approving amended work order number 2 with Olson for annexation sanitary sewer plans.
How you doing, Joe?
Mr. Heaton.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So if you recall, I think it was at our last meeting, we passed a resolution to authorize Olson to do some design work on sewer on the newly annexed areas south of the bypass. Since then, or overlapping projects here, there's been some interest in development going on in this parcel that was annexed a year ago, maybe a little longer.
Mm-hmm. A while ago.
So what I asked Olson to do is amend that agreement that we approved last time. That original agreement was to get sewer from the corner here of Hollow Road and Highway 75 into this newly annexed area and along P35. The amendment before you tonight will help get a design for a sewer line down Highway 75 so that any future development in this section could tie into the city sewer services. And part of that, the design is required by state statute. Once we annex a certain area, we have to be able to provide city services to it. With the amendment before you, so last meeting, we agreed to spend $35,000 with Olson. They're just adding an extra $10,000 to that fee to do this work. So the total is $45,000. not an additional $45,000. Any questions or anything?
Thank you.
Okay,
any comments from the public? Is she okay?
I'm fine.
We've got water. Any of you water?
I'm good.
Cough drop.
Okay. We're here to help. Council. How would you like to proceed? Did Water and Sewer Committee meet on this?
I did. And this is another step in the process. So if no one has any questions on the council, I would like to introduce resolution number 2025-27.
Resolution number 2025-27 was introduced by Councilmember Willis, approving amended work order number 2 requisition for annexation sanitary sewer plan.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution number 2025-27 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 2025-27. Please register your vote. Give me a word.
All
right.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. Mr. Green.
Thank you. Good job, Councilman. All right, thank you, Council. Doing this a little bit earlier on the agenda tonight, I'll explain why in just a second, but just wanted to remind you that this week happens to be spring break week again for the school system here and some surrounding areas, so we do have some employees that are off and about enjoying themselves. I happen to be gone the rest of this week, so sent out an email earlier to you letting you know that Assistant City Administrator Aaron Barrell is off until Friday, and so for Wednesday and Thursday, CJ will be your primary contact person if you have some questions or issues. Just wanted to let you know a couple exciting things that are happening down at the airport with the Airport Authority. You may have seen this in the paper as well, but pleased to let you know that the Airport Authority did recently sign a purchase agreement with the person that owns the property just immediately north of the airport. That will be property that's going to be a key critical piece for us with the expansion of the runway to the north. So what you'll see is next year a grading project that will ultimately relocate the county road there, and then they'll move in hopefully the next year, 2026 or 2027 at the latest, to grading the site and then pouring the runway. So that's been a multi-year project, and excited to see that continue to go forward. Also wanted to let you know that over the last couple months, the Airport Authority received a state grant of a little over $986,000 that's going to be used for grading storm sewer and sanitary sewer on the south side of the airport. So we actually have projects going on both ends. On the south side is an expansion of the area for the corporate hangars. So we'll eventually, the plan is that Skyworks will be building a new jet center, kind of the focus of their efforts there on site, as well as then 12 additional pad sites for corporate hangars. And we're receiving a lot of interest from the corporate community. So excited to see the work that's going on there.
all of this, I just wanted to let you know, is not only exciting, but really builds the anticipation for that water main that we've talked about extending down Highway 133. So again, there's a lot of excitement from Skyworks and the corporate entities that they work with. So I do think there's, you know, some excitement for that. That design could be done later this summer. And then once it, we'll bring that design back to you, authorize you to, or us to go out for bid for that. And then we'll see what the dollar amount is. So excited to see those kind of things going on. And then obviously we have an executive session coming up. So for the rest of the audience that's here, let me explain a little bit about what's going to be happening. For this next agenda item, the council will make a motion to go into executive session. There is some verbiage that the mayor has to read, so pay attention to that. Going into executive session for the protection of public good, have some serious issues for them to discuss. As is usually the case, or I should say usually the case with executive sessions, is we try to time them at the end of the meeting so that there are no official action items that need to take place afterwards. That's not necessarily the case tonight. So I want to remind everyone who's here, if you did want to stay for some reason for the agenda item that's afterwards, once they go into executive session and you're going to stay, we'll ask you to go up to the front and we'll escort you up to the front. We'll close off the doors here for the executive session time. Then once they're ready, we'll come get you, bring you back in. They'll actually come out of executive session in the public, so that will be a public vote, but no actions will be taken during the executive session. And then there is just the one agenda item that's still on the agenda, so that's coming up. So again, if you want to stay, that's great. If you want to leave, though, as soon as they decide to go to the executive session, out these doors, and then we'll proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. So item number 10, we'll have an executive session for, stay put, we got to vote. Executive session for the protection of the public interest to receive legal advice regarding dispute resolutions concerning the industrial water main project and to protect the attorney-client privilege. Would someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session at 7:27 p.m. for the following reasons: to discuss possible litigation involving the city of Blair and preserve the attorney-client privilege.
Second.
A motion has been made and seconded to go into executive session for the limited purpose to discuss the following subjects: litigation involving the city of Blair and to preserve the attorney-client privilege. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. You are excused.